Hey, Exchange family, this is Exchanging Stories. Well, hey, Exchange, welcome back to Exchanging Stories, our Elder Wife edition. Today we have with us Kimberly Penny. Hey, Kimberly.
Hello.
So Kimberly has been at Exchange for how long? You guys have been there pretty close to the start, right?
Yeah, about 10 years, I think.
Okay. So if someone kind of, maybe they know your name, maybe they know Doug, maybe they're not sure exactly who you are. Tell us, you know, how they find you at Exchange, maybe where you serve, a little bit about your kids, you know, attachments there.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. We have two kiddos. Lydia she will be 21 in December, which is crazy to me. She's out in Arizona now.
Yeah.
And Joshua is 17. So
a senior in high school.
Senior in high school. Yeah. Yeah.
The fun stages.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. So Lydia, if you remember, if you've been at Exchange for a minute, you might remember Lydia and us sending her off or welcoming her back from a gap year program that she did, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so that was a stretching experience for everybody, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
You probably
didn't have any worries or concerns.
None.
Yeah. As she's traveling the world. Yeah.
No, it was an incredible time of God's kindness to our entire family. I mean, it wasn't easy by any means, but he was just very gentle, and in the stretching, mm-hmm. he was kind. Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. And she's at Grand Canyon University right now.
She is.
Studying. Okay.
Yep.
Well, what about serving, Kimberly? Where spots that you have served or currently serving Exchange now, besides being the wife of an elder?
Yeah. Let's see. We have served being Doug and I, both in kids ministry.
Yeah.
Doug and I as well, both serve as buddies.
Yeah.
And that is an incredible opportunity.
That's kind of a newer thing for you,
it is.
Doug?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. For both of us. I mean, we've done it now two rounds of the discipleship hour class, and it is fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's not easy.
No.
Yeah.
No, but it is so worthwhile. Yeah. I mean, it is what you gain.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to what you give is just, it is a good way to start my Sunday mornings.
I love that. I was in the lobby before the service last week, and I watched one of our kids that has a buddy come in with their parents, and Doug was waiting for them, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, they came in, this little kid came in and said, "Mr. Doug," mm-hmm. you know, and just, it was just so excited.
Yes.
You know, it was just this really cool relationship.
It's precious.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. So, kids, buddies.
Mm-hmm. Doug and I are flock leads.
Yeah.
And then, I also help with the women Exchanging Stories Live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So lots of great things. If you haven't had a chance to meet Kimberly, you can probably find her in one of those spots.
Yes.
Or sitting somewhere middle section of the midsection.
Yes.
Right. At Exchange. Yeah. With Doug. So, the pennies have been a gift to Exchange for a long time. What about, as we get into a little bit of, who you are, Kimberly. One of the things that we've been doing with the Elder Wives is two truths and a lie. So you know what happens, Exchange. They give us three stories about themselves. You kind of guess throughout this episode which you think is true, and we'll tell you at the end. So what do you have for us today, Kimberly?
Okay. Mine are quick.
Okay.
Just three statements.
Okay.
So the first, when I was 17, I was a semi-professional go-kart racer.
Okay.
When I was 18, I was interviewed by CNN.
Okay.
And when I was 19, I jumped out of a perfectly good airplane.
Okay. All right. So semi-professional goat cart.
Semi-professional.
Yeah. Interviewed by CNN and went skydiving. So I like how you phrased that in the middle of those 17 to 19 year old eras. So that is, I'm going to have to think about that through the interview, which one I think is a lie. So good stories coming about. What about hobbies? I know of a couple that you're very talented at, but if Exchange doesn't know you, what's some of the things that you love to do?
The Lord is just developing a crafty side.
Yeah.
That I'm really enjoying.
Yeah.
As of late, like I mentioned, our kids are older, so I'm finding myself with more free time.
Yeah.
And I make rope bowls and coaster sets.
Yes. They're very cool. If you haven't had a chance to see one, Exchange, you should ask to just even look at it.
They're fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to do. It's a way I feel like to use a talent to hopefully be a blessing to somebody else. I often pray when I'm making them that whoever gets this, you know, it will be a blessing to them or just whatever's happening in their life. And so I try to use it intentionally as well.
Well, we have some friends who, you know, they lost a parent or something like that, and they gave you like a scarf. I can't remember what it was.
It was
like
a scarf.
A scarf that you were able to weave into that rope bowl.
Yep.
Which I think that's such a fantastic way to just constantly see, you know, and remember, you know, somebody that you love. What got you into that? Like what was the precipice of the rope? Especially?
Well, I've always seen my mom and my grandma do work a lot with their hands with different crafts and things. But it was, I don't even know, a few years ago up at Blowing Rock downtown, there's a little shop called the Mountain Thread Company.
Okay.
And they had these kits that with rope, you could make different things. So I bought a kit, took it home, made it, and loved it.
Yeah.
Well, I loved it after I figured out how to do
all
it.
All the frustration
around
it. Oh my
goodness. The first several, it took weeks to figure out how to get it going. And then I went back to the same store and they sold spools of rope, different sizes. And so got a 1,000-foot spool.
Oh man, that's like commitment right there. Yep. It's like, I'm going to do something with this.
Took it home and started, you know, making my own designs and different things with different fabric. And if you pull it tight, it makes different shapes. And anyway, just trying to be creative and using my time in a way that to produce something, and I have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're really cool.
It's fun.
I think you've learned well, because the things that I've seen look like they belong in a store for sure.
Thank you.
What about a perfect day? If you get to plan perfect day that you don't feel the weight to plan it for anyone else except for you.
That's tricky.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's definitely gonna be in the mountains.
Okay. Fall. Which is odd because you grew up at the beach.
I grew up at the beach. Yes. But I had a long time of time at the beach.
Yeah. So now
like
it's the mountains.
Like my whole 18, you know, first 18 years were daily at the beach. So yes, now my happy place is the mountains.
Yeah. Okay. So it's in the mountains.
It's in the mountains. It is really low key. Definitely has a warm cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely has Doug.
Yeah.
Just to chat and walk around. I'm not a big hiker.
Okay.
But I'll take a leisurely stroll.
Yeah.
Out in the woods is great.
Yeah.
Wherever. Just looking at the different colored leaves and
so fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The beauty of God's
taking
creation.
It slow, not feeling like you have to go anywhere or be somewhere that's very, you know, like a time commitment on your schedule or calendar, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yep. That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I think many at Exchange would love to join you, which would maybe make it not the perfect day.
Or the more the merrier.
Yeah. What about reading? Like, what are you reading today, this season, or something that you've read lately that you've enjoyed?
right now I'm back in the Women of the Word book.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to do the discipleship hour class, and I've read it a couple times before. But it's always good to go back and just to refresh and to be reminded of the intentionality mm-hmm. that is helpful when coming to the Word in order to build Bible literacy.
Yeah.
And that's something I'm really passionate about.
That's great. So, and this is really cool because we're recording this just right before you start that.
Yes.
Likely it won't air until maybe after the course is done. So maybe some of those who went to the class are listening. Maybe now, if you were to say, man, my hope for this class is, and maybe, you know, 6 weeks from now or 7 weeks from now when it airs, they're saying, oh, that happened. Or maybe like, man, that is happening, right? So what would say as you facilitate this class, what's a big hope?
That the ladies will fall more in love with the God of the Bible.
Hmm.
Like the more we learn about him and his character, that our love for him would just grow and that we would see him rightly in order to have our lives imitate him rightly.
I love what you said, the God of the Bible, not just the Bible. That the women wouldn't fall just in love with like reading a book, right?
Like, or gaining knowledge.
Yeah.
Like none of that. I mean, that's good to gain
knowledge.
Those
are great things.
But that's not the end in and of itself, right?
Yes. Yeah. I love that. What about scripture? Do you have a favorite scripture that's kind of swirling around your head all the time or in your heart?
I love the book of Colossians, and that's kind of broad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say it's just very gospel focused, and it's also very practical mm-hmm. for me. And so I think specifically in chapter 1, I believe it starts in verse 9, where Paul, he's talking about having not ceased from praying for the Colossians and that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will, and goes on to say different things that he desires for the Colossians. And then in verse 15, where he starts talking about the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, here are all these things I want from you. And then here's why,
mm-hmm.
because of just the incredible nature mm-hmm. of who Christ is. And then towards the end of that first chapter, verse 29, he's saying that I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So just thinking of like, as we are practically trying to live out this countercultural Christianity, mm-hmm. being Christ's followers, it takes effort and it's work, but it's worth it because of who Christ is, mm-hmm. you know, where it talks about that from 15 to 20. And then he goes back in 21 just to remind us that, yes, we are working, we are doing the effort, but it is the Lord who is working mm-hmm. powerfully within us. Like we don't have to do it in our own strength.
And we can't.
No.
Yes.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So yeah, that one, that is one that I constantly go back to.
That's good. That's really good. Well, there's a couple things that you said, even in that, you know, that the Lord works, you know, that we don't just have to and that we can't. And also just your hope and your desire for the women of Exchange to fall in love with the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Those things don't just happen, right?
Yeah.
So tell us how they happened for you. Like, how'd you come to know and love the Lord? You know, there's difference of knowing about him, of course, you know, and knowing him. And then I think there's just also this and loving him, you know. Tell us a little bit about your journey to knowing and loving Jesus.
Okay. I started out in a family who regularly attended church. So church was not anything foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
We would go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But it never felt like anything other than a place I was going. It never impacted the rest of my Monday through Friday, other than Wednesday having to make time in the schedule to go. Like, you know, there wasn't just this understanding that because of the things I'm learning, my life should look different. Which wasn't that big of a deal necessarily, I guess, in elementary, but come middle school, high school, there were a lot of temptations and things that came that I was not actively fighting against. I started going to church less and less. Middle school, high school, same thing. And I was looking for my identity and my happiness in the things of the world. I go back and forth. I ping-ponged mentally back and forth between believing that God existed. Like, I feel like I had this understanding that, yes, there was a God, that he existed, and he was really disappointed in the choices that I was making. So I'd often pray, Lord, please don't let me get caught, honestly. That was a lot of my prayer. And then I would go and think, no, there isn't a God. Like, God doesn't exist. And, you know, but thankfully, and I think this was his grace, I never stayed there long mentally. There was the feeling, no, there is. But that knowledge was not impacting the choices that I was making. So that was middle school, high school. College, my freshman year, I developed an eating disorder and really, really quickly kind of got into this mental prison of depression and just struggle. And so that was first semester freshman year. I ended up having to drop out, take a medical leave of absence. And for the next several years, I was just in a really dark place. And it was hard. It was hard. But looking back, I can see the Lord was even kind in that, just the different people that at the time seemed like random people or random circumstances where I continued to hear the name of the Lord. And eventually it was through lots of, my life took lots of different turns and twists during that time. But, I got involved in a group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And it was there that my eyes were open to the need for a personal relationship with the Lord. Like, I understood the religion part. I understood the church, but I did not understand what it meant to have a personal relationship with the Lord. So that was 1998.
Okay.
And came to know the Lord. I had been baptized when I was younger, but I chose to be rebaptized just because I felt like that was a step of obedience after I understood what it meant to have a relationship with the Lord. And and so I have continued from then on just to grow in my understanding and love for him. And I think it's the more I understand this, I think where my passion comes from, for wanting other ladies and other people in general to understand the word because of how it reveals to us who God is and his incredible character and nature and worthiness of our worship and our lives.
Now, that's there's a lot there, Kimberly. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I know there's some spots in that testimony and in your journey that you're like, oh man, that's hard. But you know, I think obviously you know this, like there's plenty of people that struggle pre-believer or even after believer with things like that, identity and what we do to grab for pieces of identity, and so.
Yeah. And I will say that, like, once I came to know the Lord, my struggle with the eating disorder did not go away instantaneously.
Yeah. I was getting ready to just make a joke about that almost to just say, like, of course, like, all struggles go away, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah. And it may for some people. He may choose to heal like that. And that's fantastic. But that is not the path that I was on.
Did you expect that?
I don't know. I don't know that I did. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. I don't know that I did.
I mean, I know some people who do, you know, and they give their life to Christ and they're disappointed really quickly that all of their struggles, maybe not like circumstances as if they win the lottery or something like this, but like struggles that it seems as if God doesn't want us to struggle with. We still struggle with.
Right.
Right. Because we're still human.
Yep.
And we still carry a lot of that, you know, old self with us.
Yeah. And we live in a fallen world.
Yeah. And we have to die to that daily.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a lot. And so if there's a spot that you identify with in Kimberly's story, I would even challenge you to reach out and talk to her. She would be quick, really quick, I guarantee you, to say, I don't have all the answers here.
Yes.
I guarantee you that. But she would listen really well and sympathize and empathize with your story and hold it really carefully, I think. So, yeah.
Yes.
So reach out. But I love that story. Doug fits in there somewhere with InterVarsity too,
doesn't he? Okay. Yes, that's where we met.
Yeah. I just love that, that the Lord has done a lot, in your life, just not even, of course, with, identity and eating disorder, but also just turning you and your eyes from really just kind of obligatory religion, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
To something that's life-giving
yes.
and that has purpose and just so much passion behind it. I hear it when you talk about women of the word and like your desire to get women to fall in love with the God of the Bible because he can be fallen in love with.
Absolutely.
That's the thing is that I think some of us have those moments in our life where it's like, is this all that there is? Like I just do these things and it seems very mundane or like an obligation, but he can be fallen in love with.
Mm-hmm. And he is so much better. I think when we are distracted by all the lesser things,
mm-hmm.
that's when our eyes can turn from the Lord and not find him as desirable as he really is. And that's just a tactic of the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and throws us off in like even our pursuit of him because mm-hmm. we think, well, it's just not possible, you know. Thanks for sharing that, Kimberly. So what now? So like what has you excited about Exchange at the moment? What's something that it makes your blood pump a little bit faster when you think about?
There are lots of things.
Yeah.
Like I love our church.
Yeah.
And I know it. That seems like that's going to be an obvious thing that I say, but I will say this, my daughter, mm-hmm. Lydia, being out in Arizona, to hear her talk so fondly about Exchange.
Yeah.
And as she is seeking out a good church out there, you know, holding everything kind of in, I don't know the best way to describe that, but she's, you know, she's looking for the family that she is not with at the moment, the church family that she's not with. And that's just a blessing to have that. So,
for her to have maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe a high standard because of Exchange. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I would say prayer. That's got me super excited. Like there are several different, not groups, but just different, like whether it be the women's Bible studies or thing with our own small groups or flocks, just sitting in the pew Sunday morning and just the culture.
We don't have pews, Kimberly.
That's true. You're right. I'm sorry. Sitting in the
fold out plastic chairs. That pews might be more comfortable. Yes.
I don't know. But just the culture of if there is an issue, whether it mm-hmm. be of praising the Lord for or petitioning the Lord for, you know, I feel like we are developing a quicker reaction of bringing it to the Lord in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited about that.
I think that's a great thing to be excited about. I am as well. I was going to ask you what's a ministry passion, but unless you have something different, I think I know, and Exchange knows, like getting women to fall in love with the God of the Bible. I think that's great. What else would you say to that? Anything else that you want to add to that?
I would say, I think discipleship, mm-hmm. just the idea of walking with one another and developing, helping to develop that, love for the Lord, and just realizing it might not necessarily come super easily, mm-hmm. depending on the season of life you're in. Like, you know, we are having to fight against lots of, busy schedules and, mm-hmm. Things that are taking up space in our mind and, you know, things like that. So just to, have people, women, men and men, to walk alongside one another mm-hmm. and continuing to encourage each other that it is worth the pursuit.
Yes. Yeah. The hard work. And I say the hard work to, not overstate it, but I think accurately state it. It's that hard work of putting in the long obedience mm-hmm. and those disciplines. Mm-hmm. And it's just like anything else in life that you want to develop a relationship with someone that you really, really care about. It still takes work.
Yeah.
To get into shape. You go to the gym daily or to develop a proficiency in a craft. It takes like a ton of work, right?
Yes.
And I think I don't know who sold us the lie that our faith should be easy. Mm-hmm. And, but there is an effort that comes along with it. You know, I think that's great. I think that's something that's happening within the flock groups right now and trying to like, trickle that down to all the small groups and just very intentional relationships, women's ministries, having some things happening that I think are really cool as well. What about, as we kind of start to wrap up, life as an elder wife, Doug's been an elder for like 5 years, mm-hmm. I think. How has seeing him be an elder at Exchange, shaped or changed the way that you either pray for Exchange in general or the elders, as a whole?
Yeah. I would say like that I don't have any like insider information.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like Doug doesn't come home from elder meetings and download to me the things that are happening in people's lives personally.
Yeah.
Like that remains cared very well for within them. But I am aware of the spiritual battle mm-hmm. that is happening among or just against the church body.
Generally. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. And so just, I think the realizing the need to go to battle in prayer because the enemy is not taking it easy.
No.
He's not sleeping in.
Yeah.
He's not, just being kind in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
yeah.
not. And yeah. so I have the privilege to battle against in prayer. I don't understand why that works or all how that works, but I have been invited into that by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a responsibility and a privilege to go to battle. So I would say that's just
I love it.
Yeah.
That's, I get this image, one of the things with like physical battle, right? Like there's some things that, genetically you have to be designed a certain way to be a fierce warrior, there's pros and misconceptions there, but at the same time, I love the fact that some of our women are what I would look at as some of our great warriors of the faith, you know, like, and what an incredible image when you see like some women who, you know, might not even be able to, you know, I'd get this image of like the picking up Thor's sledgehammer mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. But the weapons that you're able to wield are powerful mm-hmm. and what scripture says are able to turn Satan.
Yes.
You know? And so I love that. Just waging war, mm-hmm. you know, going to war against spiritual warfare, against the powers that we can't see and all the tricks that he's laying for us, mm-hmm. you know? So I appreciate that a ton. I probably cut you off if there's something else that you wanted to add to that.
No, yeah. That's great.
Okay. All right. So bringing it back around as we wrap up our time with Kimberly here, two truths and a lie, semi-professional goat cart driver.
Correct.
Interviewed by CNN yep. and skydiving.
That's it.
Exchange, if you haven't taken the time to figure out which one this is, blurt one out to someone listening with you. And see if it's right. But Kimberly gives us the stories. Give us the two truths first.
Truths are okay. Interviewed by CNN.
Okay. You got to give a story for that.
Okay. So my senior year in high school, our senior trip at the end of the year, we were going to on a cruise.
Okay.
And we got there. We had driven 17 hours on a chartered bus.
Yeah.
Got there and pulled into the port, and the ship we were supposed to be on was leaving.
Oh no.
Yeah. Because another, I think it was a Carnival cruise line, another ship had caught fire in the ocean, and our cruise ship had to go rescue them. And so CNN was there covering all of that. And here, my 18-year-old self gets off the bus in a huff.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they came over and interviewed, and I let them know that I was not thrilled that this is what was happening.
Yes. Well, two questions about that. Okay. One, did you get to go on a trip? I mean, did they have another ship come and get you?
So they brought a smaller ship and took us to Bahamas and just left. And we stayed on the island for a week, we were supposed to go to different ports.
Different places. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it was monsoon season.
Oh.
And we were, there in the midst of a monsoon.
Gosh. Okay. Second question, and probably more importantly, is can we still find this interview online?
Okay. I hope not. My dad described it as I had my John Lennon sunglasses on, and I was 18.
Oh, man. Fun. Okay. Second truth.
Yes. Skydiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So when I lived down in Florida for a period of time, and a group of friends, we decided to go to Zephyr Hills, Florida, where they make the water.
Yeah.
If you've ever bought that. And went skydiving. And it was an incredible
experience. It was a good time?
It was.
Would you do it again?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because it
you
was...
You could be peer pressured
possibly.
Enough. Okay.
Possibly.
Okay.
It was a great experience. Yeah. But now, you know, as a...
As a mom,
more experience, you know, all the things that are rattling around in the mind. I'm like, that probably wouldn't be the smartest thing, but it was a fun experience.
So the lie, of course, is that you were a semi-professional go-kart driver,
correct?
But was that an aspiration in life?
No, but I did have a go-kart.
Okay.
And we had, airstrip that was behind my grandmother's house that was owned by the military.
Yeah.
And we would go out there and we thought we were semi-professional.
I love it. I love it. Well, Exchange, I hope that you have enjoyed this as much as I have. And maybe a part of Kimberly's story or passion has connected with you in some way. And I would just help you extend the invitation. Invite Kimberly over for a cup of coffee, go out for a cup of coffee, lunch or something. You would enjoy your time with her. And so I hope you've enjoyed this. And I hope that as Kimberly has shared her story, it helps you connect to your story and what the Lord's doing in your life. And we will see you next time, Exchange on Exchanging Stories.